Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I need you to do your work. Lord, I'm just a spokesman. I'm just a mouthpiece for you today. Hide me behind your cross. Let your word go forth. And Lord, accomplish that which you want and desire in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever ask a question, God, why did you allow this to happen? I'm just going to give you a moment to think about that. Why did you ever allow this to happen? I think there's probably not every person in here that could answer that. That has asked that question at one time or another. Lord, why have you let it happen? It's a natural question to ask. When you go through difficult and painful times, and I can tell you, that you only find a true and fulfilling answer is when you seek the wisdom from the Lord. Seek his wisdom. When you ask for God's viewpoint on your situation, he will give you scriptural places in the Bible where it happened. Things in the Bible that happened very similar to yours that will help you to understand why these things are going on in your life. Why is it happening? We need to have some kind of idea. What's going on? What are you trying to tell me? There's a question that I've asked the Lord many times when things happen. Lord, what are you showing me? Why am I going through this? Or is there something that I need to see here? Help me to see it. You know, sometimes I was like your disciples. I know there's a lot of times, Lord, you tried to make them understand things and they just didn't get it. I think of so many things. When the Lord told them that Lazarus was sick, he has fallen asleep. You remember what the disciples said? Well, Lord, that's good. That's good that he's sleeping. He's dead, Jesus said. He died. That's what he told his disciples. How many times did he tell his disciples he had to be rejected? He had to go to Jerusalem, be crucified. How many times did he try to tell them? They just didn't get it. But don't you be so quick to point your finger at them. Because whenever you point your finger at them, you got all these coming back to you. Got all these coming back to you. So don't you be so quick to point a finger. How many times are we just like them? God used his trials to accomplish his purposes in our life. Through these trials and tests, he strengthens our faith. He makes us more Christ-like. He demonstrates his love and power in these ways. And I can assure you that if you understand this, it will change your viewpoint on the hardship that you're going through. Perhaps you're going through that right now. Evidently, this is why the Lord laid this in my heart. You must be going through a trial right now. Instead of feeling like a victim, we need to look at these difficulties with joy and peace. Oh, boy, that's hard to do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But you can have joy looking beyond your problems. You can have peace knowing that you're going through it. You're going through it, but you can have peace about it. Because you need to remember, Jesus might be asleep, but he's still on the boat with you. He was tired. He was sleeping, but he's on the boat with you. I can tell you this. Our Lord would have just loved to hear that from his disciples. Wouldn't that have been a neat thing for the Lord to hear? I can tell you the Lord would have heard it in his sleep. But all he heard was, Lord, get awake, we'll perish, there's a storm. But I tell you what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear one of them say, but Jesus is in the ship with us. We don't need to worry about the storm. He's in the ship here with us. If we go down, we're going to come back up because he's on the ship with us. He would have liked to heard that. But he had to hear that from other ones. He would have liked to have heard it from his own disciples. But he had to hear it from a centurion. One that wasn't even of the Jews. A centurion. The centurion's servant was sick, and the Lord, and he wanted him to come and touch him. And as the Lord said, sure, I'll come and touch him. But the centurion said, I'm not worthy you to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to do that. But he said, I'm a man of authority like you are. And I'll tell this man to go and do this and do that. And he does it. And you're a man of authority. And if you just speak the word, I know that my servant will be healed. That's not part of my message. I don't know why I'm sharing that. The Lord said, I haven't seen this great of faith in all Israel. He said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all Israel. He was looking to see it. Fine place to find it from a centurion. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And that's just exactly what happened. Jesus spoke the word and his servant was healed in that very hour. That's what he was looking for. Understanding the reasons for our trials, I guess, would be a good way to give it a title. Understanding the reasons for our trials. You know, more often than not, we want to point our fingers right away. Try to place the blame when trials come our way. I think it should be always something that we ask, what is the true source of this trial? Where is this trial coming from? It can come in various different places. Many difficulties are very different. A lot of people suffer different things than we do. Many times we suffer things we bring on ourselves because of our own poor choices. We suffer things because of our own poor choices, and sometimes troubles can be caused by other people. A young believer might face certain problems over and over because he has only began to walk. How many of you ever seen children just starting to walk? A little shaky, fall down a couple times. That's how it is with young believers. It's okay. Young believers is the same way. It's all right. It's okay if you fall. You can get yourself back up. The Lord's waiting to pick you back up. He loves you. He's always ready to pick you back up. Some will see troubles because of rejection or persecution, especially when you're a young Christian. And maybe this will really bend you out of shape, but I can tell you the longer you serve the Lord, you'll get used to that. You'll get used to that. But as a young Christian, it might devastate you. But as you get older, you realize that that's just the way it is. The devil hates you. People of the world hate you. You'll understand that the longer you serve him. Peter warned believers not to be surprised or disheartened by such trials and explained that God will always work them out for good. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. It'll always work out for good. There's other pains and problems that we face simply because the world we live in is fallen. It's a fallen world. Ever since creation, it was corrupted by sin. It's interesting how God gave man everything he needed, yet they thought they needed something more. Isn't that how the devil works? Rich people just need to get a little bit more. Just a little more. How much do you need? Just a little more. A little more. Don't have enough. Just need a little more. Does God ever send trials himself? Yes. If you go on the next verse in James, it says God never tempted any man, but God has tested many men. When it comes to tempting, that word belongs to the devil. So you understand, the word tempting belongs to the devil. The word testing belongs to God. You got that. You need to make that difference. There's a big difference. He allows things to happen. And many times they result from choices that we have made that were not God's choice. When you make choices that's not God's choice, look out. Even as there are seasons that we enjoy here in Pennsylvania, and I do enjoy the seasons of the year. I love where I live. I enjoy the seasons of the year. You know, as the seasons of the year that we enjoy in Pennsylvania, we have seasons in our life as well. Right now, we're enjoying a season of rebirth coming out of winter. You perhaps are experiencing rebirth. If you have never experienced rebirth, you need to accept Christ as your Savior and experience new birth. There's no other birth like it. So we're enjoying new birth. We're watching the grass get green and the flowers get so pretty. It's a beautiful time of year. And perhaps that's the way it is in your life right now. It's a beautiful time. And I pray that it is. But as the seasons go, sometimes there's fall and there's winter. And maybe perhaps you're in that position now, even though it's spring. You're in another season. You're in another trial that has come. And you don't quite understand why. Regardless of the source, the Father promises always to use each one of our trials for good. And when we know this, it should change our attitude toward them. I have told you before, and you heard me say it time and again, Christians should be the happiest people on the face of this earth. And why is that? Do you remember what I said? You can't make a mistake that God can't fix. Are you listening to me? How many have we made mistakes? We all made lots of mistakes. And I'm sorry for my mistakes, so as you should be. Repent from them. God wants to do work in your life. And sometimes as the seasons go, he probes, he prunes. Maybe there's pruning taking place in your life. Pruning had to take place. That's why it's going on in your life, because God had to do some pruning. There's pruning that needs to be done. You got to prune so that you can bring forth fruit. More fruit, not just some fruit, so you can get more fruit. That's why the pruning takes place. It's not a nice process, but it's very important. It's an important process. As children of a sovereign God, that means God's always in control. He is always in control. Our Heavenly Father is in absolute control of everything that concerns us. And with this in our mind, our trials should no longer be that source of anxiety or frustration. It shouldn't bring us anxiety or frustration. What did I say should have be happening? Joy and peace. Because you know that's what's going to come out of it. God has nothing but good in mind for you. Nothing but good. The writer did say that though at the time of testing, it's not good. It's hard. He said it's hard, and it is hard. I've been there. The time of pruning is very hard. Here are the things that we need to see when we understand God's purposes in our testing. Number one, test our faith. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, the testing of our faith is compared to the refining of gold. How many of you know what gold is? Well, it's even more precious than gold. Our life and our faith is even more precious than gold. Why is that? Because our faith is of eternal value. Gold's temporal. Faith is eternal. It's precious. And so God's testing makes it very worthwhile. Untested faith is weak and unreliable. Exposure to trials is what's best to strengthen our faith. Secondly, it tests our devotion to Christ. It helps us to discover just how obedient we truly are. Are you obedient today? I hope and trust that you are. If you're not being obedient, the tests are coming. They're coming. Sometimes we have to go through these difficult times and things Because these moments give us a choice to make a choice, either obey or not. And trust me, it's better for you to obey because it'll help you to grow. Thirdly, it purifies us. You ever been around anybody that was negative? Huh? You ever been around any people negative? You want to get as clear from them as you can. You know they're about as negative as you can. You know, you just, it makes you, you just want to get away from them. They're so negative. Everything's bad. The sun's too bright. Huh? It's too dark out. They're so negative. I don't want to be around anybody like that. I get as clear away from them as I can because I think it rubs off. You know what I mean? I don't want it rubbing off. And it does. You become the company you keep. Birds of a feather flock together. Negative attitudes, prejudice, scorn, hidden deep inside. God has to use trials to purify us, to bring it to the top. He uses fire. If your trial seems like fire, guess what? It's to bring out that impurity that's in you. He's after the impurity. He's got to bring it to the surface to get rid of it. If you don't bring it to the surface, you don't know how to deal with it, do you? It's got to be brought to the surface so you can see it and get rid of it. That's why the Lord says the Bible is like a mirror. Look in the mirror of God's word and see what you need to do. And the next, it demonstrates his love. If life was always easy and our desires were always met, God would be taken for granted. Did you hear me? If life was always easy and our desires were always met, God would be taken a back seat. He would be forgotten. How many times does the Bible remind us, don't forget about God? But we do when everything's going good. It's only when things aren't going good that we fall on our knees and begin to pray something we should have been doing all along. It's only when we get in trouble, when we get on our knees, sad. That's a sad thing to do. Someone who's in desperate need of a job may receive one in such a way that reveals God's kindness. And someone who's struggling with illness may find his or her relief only through healing. Isn't that interesting how God works? It produces a Christ-like spirit in us. God knows us. He knows us each individually. Where we are, where he wants us to be, how to get us there, he knows how to get you there. He's at work in our lives to make us more like Jesus. And then he equips us. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Paul teaches that trials prepare us, and this is a scripture Veronica used, teaches that trials prepare us to comfort those who are experiencing similar struggles. We're struggling because God wants us to know how to take care of those who are struggling. We're suffering, and so we know how to take care of those who are suffering. You know, I always wanted to avoid the hospital. When I had sickness or illness, I always said, Lord, please heal me. Please heal me. And I'm telling you, the Lord has healed me. And then he's also sent me to the hospital to be healed there. I didn't want to go. But you know why I had to go? Because he put me in a room with somebody next to me that needed to have Jesus. I needed to be there to encourage nurses that would come in and found me one day. Oh, they found me one morning. I had a nose surgery because I was too nosy, you know. Maybe somebody should have that surgery. I'm just going to take a little break to tell you about this surgery I had. I had deviated septum repaired. Sometime through the night, I thought my nose was running. You know, it was running all right. It was blood. I had it all over my hands. I had it all over my shirt. I had it on my blanket. When that nurse came in, you thought she saw a ghost. She saw all the blood. She, whoo, baby, it could be my job. Let's go, let's go, let's get him. Let's get him cleaned up. Let's go, go, go. Man, in a few minutes, there was nurses booming all over the place. They said, am I okay? I said, sure, I'm okay. I'm fine. Why? What's the matter with me? I couldn't see what they were seeing. Whoo, baby. All right. So I just told you why I had to be at the hospital. God has reasons. And don't you ever mistrust God. God has reasons. And whatever his reasons are, they're always better than mine. So I'm closing with this little list. Here's a reason why that we need to believe and rejoice, have joy and peace when we go through our trials. This is our proper response in our trials that we should always remember. God controls the length and the intensity of our trial. He controls the length and the intensity of the trial. The Father has specific purposes for everything we experience. The Lord has designed each challenge to meet a specific need in our lives. God will cause our trials to produce good, positive results in us if we respond in obedience. Through trials, God strengthens our faith. And remember this, difficulties are opportunities for us to demonstrate perseverance under pressure. Huh? Remember the bloody blanket? They were scared to death. I said, don't problem. Don't worry about it. It cleans up. It's fine. Gives us an opportunity to demonstrate perseverance. Through challenges, God develops Christ-like character with us. The hardships we face help us to measure our spiritual walk with God. The Father will be with us through every situation to accomplish his good. And lastly, God will always help us overcome our circumstances if we are willing to trust him. He will always be there. He will always be there to help you. And as many as you can, I'll ask you to stand. It's time to go home. Hurt and pain are inevitable in this life. We can always choose how we respond. We can choose to blame others, turn to drugs or alcohol for relief. We can choose to throw up our hands in frustration, or we can respond in the right way and view our trials from God's perspective to help us realize our difficulties are really opportunities for spiritual growth. We know that life will not always be easy, but because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he will see us through. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this message you laid in my heart. Lord, I don't know how many have been concerned about a trial that they've been evidently already in it or through it. Whatever the case may be, I pray, Lord, that this word will help them with this. Help them, bring them understanding to what you're doing in their life, and to know this, that all things work together for good to them that love you and are called according to your purposes. So thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you for each and every one that was able to be here today. I pray, Lord, for a wonderful week for them, a safe week, a safe trip to their homes. Till we come back again, we rejoice and praise your wonderful, matchless name in all that you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.